Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
One of our previous programs, we talked about how heaven is for real. Mm-hmm. We talked about the movie. We're going to be talking about how heaven is for real today, but you know what else is for real? Hell is for real, too. And we're going to be talking about hell. Mm-hmm. We're going to be talking about the realities of hell because, you know, heaven is one choice, but hell is another choice. These are choices. I mean, God puts it in front of us. Which way do we want to go? And so we're going to talk about a little bit about hell. We're also going to be talking about some new statistics, Steve, that were just released by the Barna Group and the American Bible Society about the state of the Bible and how Americans view the Bible. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk and unpack that a little bit. But, you know, in our previous program, we talked about how heaven is real. Mm-hmm. And the movie that has just come out that is, I mean, it's crushing, you know, the Hollywood out there is doing really, really good. Yeah. And I think they've made double their budget. I think the cost of the movie was like $12 million, and they made something like $26 million already.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, it's great. There's a lot of interest. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of interest. It's about a 4-year-old boy who had an out-of-body experience. He was, dying, in a hospital operating room, and he saw heaven, saw Jesus, and he had many other encounters that a 4-year-old boy no way could have known. And it's interesting that I presently right now have a 4-year-old daughter. Mm-hmm. And I can understand she has the capability of dialoguing. We're driving in the car yesterday and she's talking a storm to me. And I'm amazed at the stuff that she's saying. And still, a 4-year-old child is so very innocent. She was telling me how she was riding a bike in the backyard. I said, "So do you want to ride the car?" And she said, "You want to drive the car?" She goes, "No. I can't drive the car." You know, it's just hilarious. Yeah. And it's 4-year-old boy. Mm-hmm. Colton Burpo, and now he's like 16.
Yeah.
And you want to make sure we'll have this segment related for you to this one where you actually can see Colton singing a really beautiful song. Mm-hmm. He really, really loves you.
That's right.
He really, really loves you. And the boy can sing, too. He can sing. So really exciting. But, you know, there's a lot of interest in the afterlife. There's a lot of interest in heaven. And, and in particular, people like the idea of going to heaven. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You talk a lot of folks.
So, yeah.
They like that idea, you know.
I kind of like it.
They like it. And, in fact, Barna Group released some statistics that found out that basically 76% believe that heaven exists. 76% of Americans believe that heaven exists, but 71% said that they believe that heaven was real. Mm-hmm. Okay, and this is what people believe. And our conclusion in one of our previous program about heaven is real is that, listen, it's time to get them there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They believe that it exists. It's time to get them there and to show them, rather, how they can go there and get there. But also, too, I mean, it's important to share that hell is real, too.
Yeah.
Hell is real, too. In fact, Jesus spoke more about hell than he did really of any other topic, more than did of heaven. And why? Because he doesn't want nobody to go there. You know, he doesn't want anybody to go there. But this is such an interesting topic. And we also talked, which is really interesting, how all these things are kind of converging about the stigma of the gospel, which is amazing.
That's powerful.
Amazing. But what's interesting is that a lot of times people avoid talking about hell because of the stigma that's associated with that. And so they avoid talking about it. And we're going to share some statistics with you that are really going to kind of help shed some light and unpack this thing. But 71% of Americans believe that hell is real. Yet, in the same research, in the same polling, Steve, just half of 1% believe that they're going there.
Wow.
Okay, let's talk about this. 71% believe that hell is real, yet just half of 1%, right?
Yeah.
Believe that they're actually going there. So, you know, I just got a question. Who is then going to hell? I mean, who is going to hell? If just one half, and why did Jesus die if just, you know, one half of 1% is going there? Is like, hello. We have a problem, Houston. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. There's an issue here, and we really need to talk about it. I mean, God's desire is that for no one to go to hell. In fact, in 1 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you. I know this firsthand. He is patient with
you.
Oh,
yeah, dear brother.
Very, very patient.
Yes. Not wanting anyone to perish. Think about that. Not wanting anyone, not one person to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That is God's desire. He doesn't select some people to go to heaven and some people to go to hell. I'm sorry. I don't know where you heard that. But he doesn't select. He gives you a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And the Word of God here plainly says, not wanting anyone. Not anyone to perish. And so we need to give people the opportunity and be able to share with them, listen, not only does God love you, not only does God have a plan for your life, not only does he want to forgive your sins, but he wants to redeem you. When he redeems you, you're going to be in heaven with him forever when your time on this earth passes. When your time here passes, you're going to be with him forever, and you don't have to go to hell.
That's right.
Because hell is real. I mean, it's a real, real place. There are real demons in hell.
Mm-hmm.
There are real, the devil is in hell. I heard someone say, you're trying to scare hell into me. No. Let me explain something to you.
Out of you.
Yeah, let me explain something to you. It says in hell are the most evil, ferocious, demonic, possessed folks that you had, I mean, that ever encountered and walked the face of the earth. Mm-hmm. Murderers, killers, rapists, I mean, just, and everybody else. But the way the person was describing it, and you're going, you know, you may not be a murderer or a killer, but you're going to be down there with them.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? You're going to be down there with them. If you thought prison was bad, listen, no comparison.
Mm.
Okay, because there will be no guard to protect you. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a description that the Bible tells us that I could, you know, when you just meditate on certain things, you think about what type of pain. I mean, horrific. Mm-hmm. I mean, horrific, horrific, horrific. And that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to torment and torture you, and he hates you. Because you're made in the image and the likeness of God. And I think one of the grave dangers that we can fall into, and many in the church have, is to preach a cookie cutter, ooey gooey gospel that says, everybody, just come on in, line up, get your tickets, get your popcorn, get your tickets and come to heaven. Right. Just get your tickets, come on in, just. Say, I believe. Come on in and say, I believe. Come on in and say, hey, it's not like that. It's not hard to get in, but it's not like that either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to confess your sin. You have to believe that Jesus exists.
Mm-hmm.
You got to receive him in your heart. And then you got to take up your cross and follow him. You know, take up your cross and follow him. This is important because the gospel is not a get out of hell free, you know, free card. Believe and get out of hell free card. This is not how this works. You need to be able to receive him and embrace him and walk with him, making him your Lord, making him your Savior. And so very, very, very important. But what I think what happens oftentimes is that, and this was came out in a study, listen to this, Pastor, is that many committed born-again Christians believe that people have multiple options for gaining entry into heaven. It's like, listen, you're a Christian and you believe what? You say you're a Christian, you think that people have many avenues? There's only one way. Jesus said of himself. I mean, you can say there's a lot of things you don't understand. understand what Jesus plainly speaks about. Mm-hmm. I like to say he speaks English. He speaks many languages, but I understand English, you know. He says, you know, I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life. I'm not a way. I am the way. Mm-hmm. No man comes to the Father except through me, the door, the gate, me. And so what they personally say is that, you know, I'm trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior and as my way to go to heaven. But you know, hey, whatever you believe, I mean, hey, if your culture says that, you know, believe in a stone or you can believe in this false God and this false God and this false God. I mean, these are audacious claims that Jesus says. These are bold statements. I'm the way and there's no other way through me. And that's why we're talking about the stigma that's associated with the gospel. You know, if you don't understand what you've committed to, if you're not passionate for the Lord and you're looking to make friends, then you're going to run away from the gospel divides. It divides those that don't want to be with Jesus. Mm-hmm. It divides. Make no mistake about it. And I had this thought that just really just, I mean, I was just soaking on this because it was just deep, because I've seen this so many times, and I'd love to hear what you can say about this, but so many Christians are comfortable having friends that they don't say anything to them about Jesus and witnessing to them. Mm. And the question, you know, that I have is, are you comfortable with having a friend at the expense of Jesus losing a soul? Are you comfortable of having a friend to the expense that Jesus is going to lose a soul? Because you'll never mention that to Jesus to them again. So it's like, you're okay with that being your friend and that person going to hell because you don't talk to them about Jesus? And he goes to ask a question, what kind of friends are we having? I mean, listen, he didn't say just to be friendly to sinners. It's okay to have friends that are sinners if you are leading them to the Lord, you know what I'm saying? And you know, being a witness to them and loving on them. And because that's the reason why we want to be friends with folks. We want to enjoy their company, but we want to help them. We want to assist them. You know, life is not worth living outside of Jesus Christ. When we come back from this break, we're going to continue to talk about how hell is real and how God allows us to partner with him, giving them the opportunity to come to the saving knowledge of him and walking with him. Let's do this. Let's walk with him. Mm. And we were just talking before the break about how, you know, great excitement right now because of this movie, Heaven is Real, and people are, you know, are flocking and seeing the movie, which is great. And it's, you know, stirred a lot of conversation about heaven and wanting to go there. Listen, heaven's a beautiful place, and I cannot wait to be there. You know, when I pass, don't mourn, you know, because I'm with Jesus. Life is grand. Life is good. You know what I mean? Like Paul said, hey, absent, I'm there with him, here, fruitful labor, you know, God, wherever you want me to be at that moment. But while we're here, let's take as many people as we can with us. You know, you never see a U-Haul behind a Hertz. Did you know that, Pat? You don't see a U-Haul behind. When it's time to go, you can't take this stuff with you. And we're not going to take anything with us. The only thing that we're going to take to heaven are souls. Mm. That's the only thing we're going to take. And let's take as many as we can. The goal here is what? Heaven full, hell empty.
Hell empty.
That's always the case. You know, and some people was like, you know, all evangelism, and all they talk about is souls. You know, it's all you talk about. Is there anything else but soul saving? Mm-hmm. People coming to Jesus? Is there anything else?
Tell you what, man, when we stand before him, the only thing that matters is what we did for him.
Stand before him, yeah, absolutely. But think about it. I mean, try that argument with Jesus. Jesus, all they wanted to keep talking about was just souls and Jesus and people coming to heaven. Safe to say, Jesus would be okay with that message. In fact, I mean, that, you know, probably more comfortable with that message than probably 50 promises or a better you. But I'm just saying, you know what I mean? He did die for us and gave his life for us. I think that this is a message that he would greatly support, and which is give your life to him. Give your life to him. And when we were talking towards the end of our break, beginning of our break, rather, we were saying how there's some statistics and some polling that indicates that there are Christians, Steve, that believe, committed Christians, that believe Jesus is their way, is the way to salvation, and he is, but they're not as convinced that for others he's their way too, that whatever mm-hmm. they believe, hey, this is what I believe in Jesus, but if you believe, and that cannot be further from the truth. Not only that, but God doesn't have a different criteria for other people, nor do you have the right to falsely represent him as he does. You know what I mean? If you're going to tell people how to get to heaven, you need to tell them what Jesus says and what the Word of God says. Mm-hmm. But you were saying something in the break, Steve, that was so powerful.
Yeah, and there was, as you were talking about that, as far as, like, are we more comfortable with having a friend than at the cost of Jesus losing a soul? And it just made me think about, Leonard Ravenhill said that, you know, there are a million ways to go to hell. There's only one way to go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
a lot of
powerful.
People, and it just makes you think. And he says, you know, what do you have to do to go to hell? He says, do nothing. Just coast along. Yeah. Just do nothing. And it's just like, there are so many distractions. We're doing all these things. And it's just like, we don't even realize that, like, okay, are we doing it for the one thing, for Jesus?
Yeah. I mean, you think about people, the hours mm-hmm. spent in researching, buying a vehicle, buying a TV, purchasing a new home, going on your Disney trip. And all this stuff that's spent for that,
mm-hmm.
and yet we don't have enough time to research the things of eternity, the things that matter. I want to caution you, in all of your research and all your time of looking for things on the internet and all that, take time, not search the internet, but take time to settle the question, have I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life? Do I have religion? Do I have Jesus? Do I have a good idea, or do I have him? Do I know him, and more importantly, does he know me? So yeah, settle it. And many people are concerned today about living this life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Pat, they want to live life to the fullest. They have a bucket list, and, you know,
right.
they want to do all this stuff before they die. And it's like, really? This is what Jesus says in Matthew 10. Matthew 10, 28 says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. Not mm-hmm. that important. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one, capital O here, rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both the soul and body in hell. Think about that. It's not about this physical, it's, you know, it's about eternity. And, you know, Jesus speaks quite plainly. He says, I have no idea. I have no idea why so many people are confused about the things of the Bible. What does the mm-hmm. Bible mean? What does the Bible
right.
say? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Spend some time there. And you'll yeah. read the words of Jesus. Because Matthew 7 says, hey, listen, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, on that day, did we not prophesy miracles? The list goes on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
But the end of that says, and I will tell them
plainly.
Plainly.
Yep.
Okay, plainly. Without mixture, simple, here it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
I never knew you, depart from me. Jesus would say that, yes, because this is a real relationship. Mark Twain said, it's not the scriptures that I don't understand that give me the biggest problems. It's the scriptures that I do understand.
Wow.
And we want to encourage you today that settle this once and for all. Know in the depths of your heart, listen, I want to know him. I want to know Jesus. I don't want him. He's not the man upstairs. He's not your co-pilot. He's not, you know, this person in the cloud. He's real. He's real.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves you.
That's right.
And he was willing to leave the awesome place of heaven to bring you there. And he was willing to lay down all of his godness, if you will, to walk the face of this earth as a man, to identify with you. When I think about that, Pat, and I think about, wow, Jesus, you were willing to do that. I mean, that's amazing. That's amazing. You would leave everything of who you are just so you can identify with me. The Bible says that Jesus was tempted in every single way, yet without sin. I mean, he is a high priest that's able to sympathize and empathize with what we're going through, because we're just mere clay. And he's our representative to the Father, and he can go and say, I know Pat. I know what he was. I know John Osteen. I've been there.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's one thing to say, I'll pay the price, but it's another thing to be able to have the integrity to be able to cash the check that you write.
Mm.
I mean, a lot of people, I'll cover that. I'll do you even have money? Put your hand down. You can't cover this. Like, yeah. I'll cover that. I'll pay for that. I'll pay for it. Do you even have a checkbook in there? It's like, oh, you don't have the ability to pay. Not only did Jesus say, I'll pay that debt, but he says, I have the integrity, mm-hmm. and my payment is good.
Mm. That's right.
In fact, in a previous segment, we talked about him being the high priest and the sacrifice. Not only was he the ultimate payment that dealt with sin once and for all. So not only was he willing to write the check, Pat,
mm-hmm.
he knew that he had what it took for that check to be good.
He was right. The transaction.
Right? He knew that. But then there was no one worthy, Pat, who was able to handle the transaction. There was mm-hmm. no one worthy enough to be able to make this payment go through. So not only was he the payment, the sacrifice, the mm-hmm. Lamb of God that John the Baptist said, behold, there mm-hmm. he is. There is the one who takes away the sin of the world. But he was also the high priest at the same time. I want to tell you today, listen, if you are away from God, if maybe you might have known God before and you've walked away from him, maybe you've never, ever accepted Jesus Christ into your life. You don't have a definitive moment where you said, Jesus, I want you to come into my life. I want you to be my very best friend, and I will lay down my life for you. I want to encourage you. You can do that today. Receive him into your heart. Make him the Lord of your life, not just Savior. Give your life to him, your Lord, boss, king, ruler of my life, and I will live for you all the days of my life. We did that. Listen, you can find more about our story at meetmyfather.org, and you can do the same. We encourage you. Come into the family. Come to heaven. Come be with Jesus. Hell's no place for you. Jesus wants to be with you for eternity. Come on.
I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well, we want to welcome our new audience on WHBR, all the way from Destin, Florida, to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if we're not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. Did you know that VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country, in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today or become a sponsor or underwriter, and visit our sponsor and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country, in that order, and Israel, as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.